All right, we're here, and let's just say that when it comes to certain verses, there's some things I'm questioning since this episode had me research.
Ooh, interesting. So, before we get into any of that, did y'all see what has been taking over the internet the past 2 days?
Oh Lord, yes.
I am probably on the wrong side of the internet because all I see is the Jet2 holiday and that couple at Coldplay
Yo,
concert.
Astronomer, let's go. That's
That was wild.
W Coldplay, W
Yo,
Coldplay.
it's so funny. Everybody is literally like, yo, if you didn't react the way you did, it wouldn't happen.
Exactly.
It could have maybe skirted under the rug.
Oh yeah. Oh
Oh
yeah.
my God. See, the internet is like a cesspool sometimes, but like every like 2 to 3 months this year, particularly like with the 100 Men versus the Gorilla thing and like with this Coldplay thing, it's been on a streak.
Oh yeah. But also, did you guys see his response
Yes, I
to getting
did.
caught? Yo, why does he think that he has the right to privacy in public
Nah, but the
at a concert?
real question is, why did he try to gaslight and blame shift onto Coldplay?
Exactly. I'm just like, bro, first of all, you have the audacity to take your girlfriend to a concert.
The head of HR.
The head of HR at that. But y'all, you want to know what's even what's kind of wild about the situation is that, like, since it dropped, I started looking at some people, let's just say at my firm, a little different.
It's that HR and that partner,
Yep,
huh?
because they always be, buddy buddy, side by side, one always going into the other's office. I'm just here like,
You can
Ever
hear
since that
yellow.
drop, I'm like, hold on, because they be shutting the doors too. I'm like,
Viva La Vida be playing in the background.
yeah, not Viva La Vida.
All right, all I'll say is those settlement checks about to be looking hefty.
Ooh,
Yeah,
that divorce,
for
them divorces, because she's actually married to a CEO of like a large
Oh yeah.
company too. So the
Oh
divorce is
yeah.
about to be crazy.
Yeah, and if he was broke when she met him, there's no prenup. She getting everything. Getting everything.
All right, so as you can tell, we're excited for this episode. It's been a hectic week. I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Paulina.
And Meech and Meech presents.
The Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so we are talking about power scaling today, something that's kind of been on all of our minds a lot recently. Obviously, there's been talks of different anime, like, okay, this character is too powerful. This system doesn't make any sense. This character would beat that character, and so forth and so on. So, we kind of just wanted to break down different character, different animes. This is our own personal view of it, which I will reiterate later on in the show as we get to it. But since it's going to be a wild episode, hit them with that legal spiel.
Yep, the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right, for just quick housekeeping, next week we have a big episode. We will be covering Fantastic Four, the first steps. Not sure if we're going to be dropping the episode on Wednesday or not, just because of travel stuff, but that's what to look forward to next week. But getting into it, we're going to get into our power scaling, best and worst in anime. So, some important definitions you need to know going into this if you're not familiar with nerd speak in the anime sphere. First one, power scaling, if y'all want to touch on that.
Okay, so has your resident buff in when it comes to who can beat who in a fight? Power scaling is basically analyzing a verse and seeing like the strength of it as well as the strength of certain characters or techniques over the course of the show. Going from things such as, oh yeah, this person can blow up a wall, to this person can blow up a city, to this person can blow up a country, continent, planet, solar system, multi-solar system, galactic, universal, multiversal, outerversal, hyperversal, sorry, multiverse. No, sorry. I was getting a little too into the weeds on this one. But yes, yeah, so power scale is basically determining how powers work in a verse and who can inflict the most damage on said verse.
Next. So then we have another one, which is almost the opposite of power scaling, but we would say nerfing, if one of you want to touch on that.
Y'all didn't tell me I had to look up definitions.
I mean, it's common in the lingo.
It's like inherent.
Listen, they didn't tell me nothing. They banished me to the shadow realm for months. Months.
You had to get that doctorate.
Yeah.
Exactly. You had to go get big money.
I got to look up definitions. Oh my gosh. Luckily, I'd be in it. But let me see. Because I want to do one.
You want me to take this one and then you take the next one?
Yeah. Send me forward.
All right. So nerfing is basically whenever a character who initially character or system, or especially like in terms of gaming, a character or series of characters are explicitly powerful, or some would say too powerful for a verse, and thus the author, writer, creator, whoever decides to nerf them or give them a patch note, which basically essentially ensures that they are weakened in order to attempt to balance them out and not break the story.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have OP/broken.
OP/broken. So OP stands for overpowered. First and foremost, I know stuff. So OP characters are, hold on, I'm trying to get the actual definition. You said OP and...
Broken,
okay. So actually, you know what? I'm just going to go off the top of the dome because I do know this. So overpowered characters are characters that are almost unfairly more powerful than everyone else, and they're broken because usually in video games, in like any kind of gaming, there are different mechanics that allow for characters to interact with each other in a way that is fair, so that it's not one character that's always going to beat the others. But if they're broken, that means that there's no balance, there's no way for them to be like, not necessarily beaten, but overcome, because they're so like, they basically have no weaknesses.
Yes, exactly. So like with these OP broken characters, typically these are the ones that get nerfed when talking about these different systems and power scaling. Yeah. So any other terms people need to go know before we go into what our individual grading scales are?
Nah, because I'm explaining mine.
All right. So Meech, if you want to start with your individual grading scales.
All right. So for me, how I have decided to go, okay, in order to determine like the best/worst power scaling / systems in the anime verses, I ranked them based on three criteria. The three criteria are as follows. Firstly, how complex is the power system? Like, is it something to where like, okay, like each character can like individually do something, or is it something that like everyone is capable of and like they genuinely do the same thing? Or is it a case where like, okay, can they like say do something unique to specifically them while within the confines of their series? Now, the next one is consistency. How consistent within like their relative verse is said, do they adhere to the rules of their system? Like, if they state, like, for example, if someone is to use this technique, they will die. And it's shown early on, like, hey, somebody used that technique and die. It's like, all right, cool. But if somebody else ends up using the technique later and they do not die at all, we got problems. We got problems for... No. They live out of their own or like very hand wavy explanations. Mm-hmm. Like if they live just for some reason, like, yeah, I got problems with that. And then the last criteria is how easy is it for the viewer to understand the power system? Mm-hmm. Like, is this something where the writer / author, they have to constantly explain it to you in order to try to make it make sense? And then it becomes like a case where you got to read like a whole entire Wikipedia article and about 300 video essays just to try to understand the system of like one show. That's kind of no. And then there's some stuff where it's just like, oh yeah, like you just inherently know that it's all right. So those are like my three criteria. And of course, and I'm just going to say it now, because as you guys know, I'm the resident Dragon Ball guy. I'm basically like putting Dragon Ball at like an even kind of like 5 rating across the board. So it's like basically they're kind of like the benchmark, and I'm basing all the other anime I have based on it.
I don't want to get to spoilers, but we will get into Dragon Ball. Paulina.
Okay, so mine's probably, it's going to sound a little simple. So one, I'm going to go balance. So basically, I am looking for things that are little, like, I don't mind a good OP character, but I need there to be some kind of tension. And so I'm looking to see if there is an equal amount of pros and cons for each system for each power. So then the second category is, I'm going to copy Meech on this one in a lot of ways. So it's balance. It is the, I'm losing all the words. Basically, there's an X factor. So I enjoy when things are a little bit fun. I don't mind if the power scaling, the power system is a little bit confusing, but I do want it to be fun. And I think in my rankings, what you're going to see are going to be what I find the most more so what's enjoyable and what is balanced versus what might, like, which system could be the more like world breaking or something like that.
Nice. All right. So for mine, it's again, consistency. Consistency is important from start of the show to finish of the show. And also the number of broken characters within the show. But if there's a broken character, there has to be a narrative reason for why it happened. They just can't be powerful for the sake of being powerful because you wanted a strong villain at the end, or you just wanted a strong hero to dominate throughout. So those are my two big key factors. But also I'm ranking it based on the world that they live in. So I'm not comparing systems to other systems. I'm saying, hey, if you're in this system, does it work for you? And if you're in this system, does it work for you as well? And the differences within it. So that's kind of how my rankings were done. So again, these are all our individual rankings. We're probably not going to agree on some stuff. Listeners, you definitely ain't going to agree on some stuff. So do we want to start with best, or do we want to start with worst?
I want to do worst.
I want to start with worst.
All right. I'll start, because this is probably going to devolve into an argument. But for the worst one, after thinking of it, it's in my rankings. It's between this and another one that I have that are really popular. And just to note, listeners, just because we have a power ranking as worst or best does not mean that we think the show sucks or that we necessarily care when watching the show. But for my worst, one of my worst, I gotta go with Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball has one of the most inconsistent power scaling systems. Meech, I know you're looking at me and it was a 5, but they went from numbers to colors like it's math, where, yep, you know, initially it started with numbers, now we have letters. So there was Superman, not Superman, power review last week. So Super Saiyan 1, 2, and 3. Then they were like, 3 kind of sucks, so we're not going to do that one. Then they introduced Super Saiyan 4, which was then non-canon, and then they made it re-canon, and then they switched to Super Saiyan God, and then Super Saiyan Blue was over Super Saiyan God, and then there's like buffs in between that until you ultimately have Ultra Instinct. And this isn't even covering the manga where you have Ultra Ego and then Frieza putting on a do-rag. So
not a do-rag.
My only thing is that, again, I don't really care when watching the show. It's just not very consistent because the power-ups are just because. And it's literally just because. There's no real narrative reason because of the power-ups other than you feel it in your heart and you power up.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel you disagree, Meech.
Oh, I 100% disagree. Let me go ahead and debunk all of your statements real quick. All right. When you say that it is inconsistent, do you mean it's inconsistent within the story itself? Because if that's the case, then that's where we're going to have a problem, because I find that it actually is very consistent within the narrative of Dragon Ball itself. About the story of growth, that story of power, and you say it's like, we're going from numbers to colors and letters and whatnot. Those are all just stylistic choices rather than in terms of the power scaling within the verse itself. Let's take, for example, it's like, we're going Super Saiyan to break through to fulfill a legend, but we learn that it's not enough, so we have to find a way to break through that wall. And then we keep it's all about breaking your limits, and breaking your limits happens to come with various changes. Of course, once you introduce the idea of God Ki into the mix, that's when scaling goes to a slightly different tier, but it's still within the same verse. See, how I rank it is because of the fact that, the power system within Dragon Ball is not just transformation, but Ki overall. And when it comes to Ki itself, you have regular Ki and then divine / God Ki. And it's shown within the verse and explained within the verse that, God Ki is immense and it puts you on a higher tier to the realm of the gods. But it's shown arguably with Frieza that, just because you have God Ki doesn't mean you're just all powerful. You still have to train with it. You still have to gain a mastery and understanding of it, so that way you can access more power and access more of the realm of the divine and gods. Now, I will give you this. Certain transformations do not make sense / they do not need to happen. Super Saiyan Rage. That's just, honestly, in my opinion, that one and arguably Beast Gohan are the only ones that narratively had no sense in terms of like where they came from. However, the other transformations do.
I have a question.
Pauline, you can go, yeah.
So it's not my bottom ranking, but I definitely have Dragon Ball low on the list. My question is that, so one, because I don't watch Dragon Ball super at all at this point, my knowledge is from 15 years ago. But where does Fusion come in all of this? Because I thought Fusion was supposed to be an ultimate move in the Majin Buu era. But is that still in play now?
Yes. Well, that was another part of my points where it's like, I know there's a narrative reason for this. It's a very lame reason, but Gogeta / Vegeta is literally the most powerful being in the universe whenever they fuse together, but they don't do it because Vegeta really hates it. So that's the narrative reason for why they don't do it most of the time, even though they would run pockets on everybody. But yes, that is one of the things. But just another thing with consistency is that kind of how it started off, where it's just obviously, Kung Fu Tournament, I'm fine with it, progressing to, becoming world, getting destroyed stuff. But, in the Resurrection of F, Frieza literally touched the ground and blew up the Earth. And then in Dragon Ball Z, when they were fighting Kid Buu, he was bored and he just destroyed everybody on the planet. That's kind of my point with, the power scaling, where it's we just need to do it bigger. And then here's the thing with the Dragon Balls, where it's you can make any wish you want. And then with the Tournament of Power, they're like, hey, here's these bigger Dragon Balls, pause. And they just hey, you can make any wish you want that's any bigger. So I'm just kind of I get the narrative sense. And again, I don't really care when watching it. It's just really inconsistent. And we were at the Anime Houston talk, all three of us. And the dude was saying the show was supposed to end after Frieza. The manga itself was supposed to end after Frieza. And then the editors or whoever, the company was like, hey, keep this going. And they kept it going. So there's no narrative sense. And with you talking about Beast Gohan, why would you not turn into that in the Tournament of Power? Also, with improved Piccolo.
Because he didn't have the power? Because he didn't train with it? Come on, man.
But he didn't train in the movie. That's what I'm saying. When he fought Supercell, it was like, hey, you need to get into action, my guy.
Yeah, and also there's also apparently an emotion. Again, like Beast Gohan is like kind of one of the few that kind of have like less of a narrative reason to defend. And again, like that's because there's like one or two quirks in it. Doesn't mean like it's not fully inconsistent. Now, when I get into these other ones, I'm about to show you what inconsistent really is.
Wow. All
right, we can transition there.
Oh, yeah. So for me, one of the worst systems in the verse, in my opinion, breathing techniques in Demon Slayer.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Oh, no. Let's go ahead and
talk about it.
Let's go ahead and talk about it. All right. So let's get obvious. Let's get the obvious out of the way. Those breathing techniques ain't real.
Demons aren't real. What are we talking about?
No. I'm not talking about in terms of real life. I'm talking about within the context of the show, seeing like all of the lightning, the fire effects, seeing all the water effects. Those aren't real.
That's a stylistic choice.
Yet they portray it as if it is.
Wait, didn't you just say that about Dragon Ball?
Yeah. Hold on, wait. I smell a hypocrite on our hands.
No, I didn't.
The stylistic part.
Yeah. It's a style, like, no. What I'm saying is that, like, if the show would be less entertaining if they just showed people with, like, fighting with swords and things like that. So they decided to show the like creative representation of what the moves would look like. So the water breathing, they're like, this is how, like, what is it, I can't remember, I didn't do that much research into this, but when he's supposed to be moving like water to do multiple strikes, it wouldn't be as effective if they just showed him moving around, especially how it's animated. So including the including the water, the lightning, it's just further, it gives the audience a better idea of what they're doing.
Hold on. You said things are not gonna, that it wouldn't be as good if they didn't show it. Let me just bring up a certain show called Samurai Champloo.
But that's a comedy show.
Sword? No.
Yeah, they are. Yugen definitely is using
swords. No. They're using sword, not sword techniques. They're literally, in Samurai Champloo, they never call out their moves. They're just fighting.
I feel like that's not a comparison. Exactly.
That's not fair. They don't have actual techniques. You have one that's classically trained and another one who just picked up a sword and was wilding out.
But so, I mean, like, they exist in like a real world though.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have demons. They don't have like any of the fantastical elements. They're just trying to live life. Apples to oranges.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Try again, bro. So, try again.
Let's go ahead and talk about... Okay, so you want to talk about when it comes to Demon Slayer. You're saying that... I say that, again, the breathing techniques are a terrible system because of the fact of my three criteria. Okay, for one, let's go into ease of understanding. Again, when they show it in the... when they explain it in the show, it's like, okay... if you can do this, then you can essentially do this, all based on breathing, which is like, so you can heal yourself by breathing. So you can just become stronger by breathing. That's interesting.
I feel like this is a narrative stretch. It's
Yeah. You're acting like they don't train. Like, it's not like they just be like, okay, now it's not like in, I'm not going to touch on this, but it's not like they wake up and they're just like, surprise, you have this new power and you're the best one to do it. They literally train so hard. And what they don't do the best at showing, but they imply it, is that they're training for months. months in between different missions and stuff like that. Like they didn't go from the spider fight or whatever that they had directly into the Mugen train arc. They were training.
It's actually funny that you mentioned Demon Slayer because I was thinking about where I wanted to put it, and then I was like, I feel like they don't have a power scaling system because they just fight with swords. So it's really interesting that you put that.
Put them on the lower end of the list.
That's fair. All right, Paulina, this is off to a rousing start.
So my worst is the Bankai bleach system. Because let me tell you now, when we first got introduced to the show, we were told that Bankai is the ultimate move. That
Yes.
nothing beats Bond, like Bankai's kill everybody, like unstoppable almost. But as the show progressed, first of all, we found out, oh, Bankai's aren't worth nothing. Like, depending on the narrative or whatever, the Bankai became weaker and weaker, and they're like, oh wait, actually Ichigo, he needs to have hollow powers on top of that. Oh, he's a full bringer. Oh, actually, Bankais can get stolen now. They're not worth nothing when they're fighting the Quincy's. So, like, and also they're super inconsistent for each captain. Like watching Thousand Year Blood War, I'm just like, how do you get captain status with that Bankai? Like the guy, he was a what was I can't remember. He was with Shinji and them, and he punches stuff real
Oh,
hard.
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, he
Issei?
punches stuff real hard, and that don't mean nothing. Like, okay, like compared to like even Shinji's Bankai, which alters people's reality. Like, there's no comparison. And then you have who are the supposed to be the Squad Zero. And their Bankais are next level. They got washed almost immediately. They
Only
got
one of them
washed.
could have used their Bankai,
Yeah. And I'm just like, bro, but it's not even just one of them using their Bankai. It's the fact that they're supposed to be the strongest and they got washed immediately. And not even by like the best of the best of the squad. Like, I'm just like, bro, like what's the point of saying that Bankai is the ultimate move when we get shown time and time again that Bankai is not enough?
Okay, Meech, I don't know if you want to go first because I actually have Bleach as one of my best power scaling systems.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'm gonna let you go first before I come in
Okay, so I have to
because
address.
it's also one of my best.
Are you
Okay,
serious?
so look, you have your three forms of like the Shinigami. So you have the base form, then you have your Shikai, and then you have your Bankai. There's Other than Ichigo, which I was going to touch on because it's like a narrative thing, everyone else, it's like whatever your Bankai is, you can improve your Bankai, but you don't get anything above a Bankai. So like everyone's going to have different levels of Bankais. Like the head captain was literally burning the Soul Society without even like just starting up his Bankai. So like obviously it's going to be more powerful than others, and you have to think that some of these people have lived for thousands of years in order to like improve their Bankai and stuff like that. So with that, I'm just kind of like, and with it getting stolen, that's also a narrative thing. It's like it didn't necessarily get defeated, they just kind of stole it because they were preparing for 999 years to fight them. And with the Quincy's and the Hollows and the Shinigami, it's literally rock, paper, scissors on how to like fight each other. That's kind of what the thing, and then just like why I also think it's best is because like all Ichigo is like the only real broken character, but the main villain made him do that. Like it's a narrative thing that happened, which explains it, which is why I had Bleach as one of the best.
Real, I guess so. I guess as I think about it, because it's not so much. So yes, and you know what? I think I'm also putting in characters that are broken and how I don't like how they necessarily handle this. Is that what about for Orihime, Chad, like all these other characters that are supposed to have gained these abilities? They never progress anymore. Like, it took Chad from the so the Rukia, the Soul Society arc up until the what I feel is the Thousand Year Blood War for him to work for us to see some real progression in his power. But even then, and I'm not including the Arrancar arc because I feel like it was just kind of like I don't know, it felt lackluster. But even now, like, he's not really any more powerful, so why is he there? Like, why didn't he get killed immediately? Like, you see what I mean? It's not just the Bankai, it's like the entire how it's not she because it's not just the Shikigami powers, it is the spiritual pressure of it all and spiritual powers in and of themselves that I have a problem with.
But again, you just have to think like the people that they're going up against have been doing this for thousands of years.
Versus someone who's been doing it for a few months.
I feel like if they do that, then, and I know this gets into plot armor and all this other stuff, but I feel like if they're going to do that, then they need to have really severe narrative consequences for their lack of power. And they do not have that, which is why I think that the power scaling of the universe is unfair. I'll put it that way. I liked how you described it, Meeches. But yes.
Meech. All right, here we go when it comes to spiritual pressure and the pressure that is Bleach. All right. And why I consider one of the best is that yes, it is a very complex system. It's very complex when you try to think of spiritual pressure and also think about the different mediums of spiritual pressure when it comes to the Arrancar slash Espada, the Shinigami, and then the Sternritter slash Quincy's, where essentially they're working under the same system or have the same source of power. It's just that their names and how they use the abilities are differ between the three. Also, oh yeah, and then Fullbringers, aka Chad and Order Hime, aka that's number four. And when you said that there's like no narrative consequence to them getting their absolute behind whooped. Hey, Captain Yamamoto, dead. There's Soul King, dead. Let's see. A bunch of characters are actually dead. And even though they do have a reverse con with Orohime's healing abilities, which kind of spares much of the main cast, there's still a bunch of other casts who also get completely, well, bodied and bodied in very gruesome fashion at that. It's just the fact that at least on the side of good, they have an OP healer type. Hashtag strategists for the win, Marvel Rivals. I'm talking to y'all. Even though I'm a complete and total Vanguard. No, I'm getting off topic, getting off topic. But also another thing about the system itself, because that's I believe like that's what we're discussing is the system in and of itself. It's just the fact that, okay. They claim Bankai like at the top, but that's only because of the fact like within their verse they only had themselves, regular Hollows, and then Quincy's. Quincy's have been irrelevant for 999 years, so ixnay of that. You had Hollows irrelevant since birth. All right, boom, get them out of there. So really, they only had themselves to compare it with. There was no like Hollow mass to amp your power, or at least that they knew of till that point, until like Ichigo and Shinji and them pulled out the mass. They didn't know about Espadas until Espadas pulled up to the scene and wrecked shop. And with them coming onto the scene, that's when they discover like, oh snap, our complacency over the years have pretty much gotten us clapped a lot of the times. And yes, like this is a very kind of like narrative reason as to like why a Bankai, like, because again, Bankais were introduced in the Soul Society arc, which at that time, again, Bankais were at the top. And each person's like Bankai is unique to them, which which adds another point to my system. Is like, okay, they are, yeah, it's complex, and they do continue to follow the rules, like by adding, like they add to the rules by adding different kind of subgroups, whether it's the Orankar and their Resurrections, which is basically their basically their Shikais, because Ukiyora is the only one with his own Bankai, basically. You have the Sternritter, aka the Quincy's, who each have like their own individual abilities outside of just bow and arrow. And it's because of that, like, again, they've been prepping for 1,000 years. They ready for the smoke. They've been gathering up, building up their power for so long. It's no wonder the Soul Society would get whooped by them, because they weren't prepared for no Quincy's.
So we are 3-for-3 on agree to disagree, and we only did our first round. I think I'm going to have the first one that is unanimous, that we all think is the worst power system. Something that, well, I don't know if Pauline, if you love this before, but we all at various stages have loved this. This used to be my favorite anime. It's still in top 5. It's because of the consistency. From start to finish, Naruto has one watch episode 1, and it's mostly because of Boruto, but if you watch Boruto, they went from ninjas to fighting space alien gods that are their creators. Because people were talking about, like, with the kaijus and the nine-tailed beasts, which I'm fine with, because they introduced the concept of the nine-tailed beasts from the very start of the show. So you knew at some point the nine tails was going to get out. You knew early on, once we hit the Chunin exam, that Gaara, he had the one tail, so there were other tailed beasts in this universe. Completely fine with that. That is a consistent thing that they told you from day one. In terms of broken characters, this show has a lot of broken characters. One, the Akatsuki are very powerful to start the show. And then they have, like, when they get defeated, it's because of, like, you know, raising the stakes and stuff like that. But then it becomes the Naruto and Sasuke show. And those two characters become mega broken. Madara is completely broken, and all of his boosts are very loosely, like Michu said, hand wavy. He's powerful just because. And there was a lot of, oh, we have our own power up, we defeated him, which I think the power ups in this one are worse than Dragon Ball Z, to be honest with you. Where it's just like, oh, now we have the Sage of the Six Paths to help us. Cool. And then going from there, okay, now there's Baryon mode, which could have been used when we were going up against the infinite Tsukiyomi. But now that we're fighting another space alien god who's more powerful, we have to do this. So now we have to nerf both Naruto and Sasuke in the same episode because they're too powerful.
Hey, also, I want to add on to this. Remember when I said, oh yeah, how consistent is the rules? And remember how I mentioned earlier, it's like, oh yeah, if a character uses a certain technique, they will die? Yeah, this show's the worst offender.
Yeah.
My guy should be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And only get spared because of plot. And then when it comes to, like as you were saying about, like, oh yeah, Baryon mode, this is again like another like gripe I have. It's like, if it's a power that they can achieve by training and like train for X amount of times, like, okay, that's one thing. But if it's a power that's kind of implied that they can access all along, but they don't use it in critical or dire situations, then we have more issues, because it's like, why wouldn't you have used that power at X point? As you mentioned, Baryon mode. You could have used it when fighting flipping Madara Uchiha. And then also, how is it that Baryon mode Naruto is just as, if not stronger, than he was using the Sage of Six Paths? Because Baryon mode is using strictly the Nine Tails, like all 100% of the Nine Tails' power, and he's able to box up Ishiki
It's basically the eight gates of like the nine tails, yeah.
Yes, the eight
Okay.
gates of the Nine Tails, and is able to beat Ishiki, who is confirmed to be stronger than Kaguya, and yet Kaguya is stronger than Six Path Sage Mode Naruto, who's supposed to have the power of all nine tailed beasts within him. Make it make sense.
And then just one more thing with the, I think it's Gekkei Genkai is what they call
Gekkei
it.
Genkai, yep.
Gekkei Genkai,
The Byakugan at the start of the show is on par with the Sharingan. I
Yes.
don't care what anyone says. It's
Oh,
really
yeah.
on par with the Sharingan,
I
but
would even argue
don't
it's
they?
the past it, at least
But
when you see it, like based on like what's been shown at that point.
wait, that's like a pun.
But don't they even mention that at the beginning of the series?
At the start, it's like one of the most powerful
Yes.
eye techniques. And then because the Sharingan, once they start introducing the Mangekyo, they're like, forget about. And then also, like, the only two people with Byakugan were Neji and then Hinata that were important to the show.
Yes.
And then they get to the, like, the Sharingan is still somehow on par with the Rinnegan, which how to get the Rinnegan is crazy. And then I don't even like know what the eye thing in Boruto is, which is like a
The
upgraded
karma.
version of, yes, of all of them. So it's just like,
Yeah.
I love the show, but the power scaling in it is so
Yeah.
inconsistent.
Yeah. Can we also talk about how, like, there, I feel so. Complete transparency, I don't watch Boruto. That
That's absolutely fair.
never sat well with me. But also, I feel like in the beginning, there is this heavy emphasis on the importance of learning new jutsu and all that kind of stuff. Like they make a big deal about Kakashi being the copy ninja and like the man of a thousand jutsu and stuff, but he be doing the same four or five. And the fact that Naruto, like, at least from what I see in this series, he's got the Rinnegan Shadow
No,
Clone
he
Jutsu.
doesn't have the Rinnegan.
He does not have
Oh,
Rinnegan.
not Rinnegan. I'm sorry, Rasengan. Rasengan. Yeah. They've gone. They got gone at the end and they
He
both
also
stopped.
has Sage Mode. Don't forget
Yeah.
that.
But okay, so Sage Mode, which, okay, so that's an advanced technique. Sage Mode, the Rasengan Shadow Clone Jutsu. And he packed everybody up with those three jutsu when they're supposed to be. Even the fact that the so this is what yeah, like they're supposed to be all these different jutsu and stuff, but we've got eyes, we've got Kekkei Genkai, we got tailed beasts. Jutsu don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. So
This is true. Dang, I didn't know we were gonna go so long, man. I feel like we could have split this episode, but Meech, what you got next?
Okay, so here's another one that I think is one of the worst, and this goes to all the manga spoilers, so I'm not gonna get too deep into like who does what. Jujutsu Kaisen.
I kind of know what happens. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Because
Okay.
again, it's a wildly super complex system
That is very true.
to where they are constantly like they constantly have to stop the story to explain either certain characters' abilities, to explain like what's going on, and they spend up like precious time just trying to explain what's happening, to which like even at the beginning they kind of don't explain too much, and they don't explain it well at all. But then they made these certain rules, right? Let's say, take for example, a binding vow. It's like, hey, it's like if you take a binding vow, you gain like X ability or you gain X power, but it comes at a detrimental cost. But by the end of the series, a certain character starts making binding vow after binding vow after binding vow after binding vow
I know what you're talking
to
about.
do whatever the heck the plot demands with zero consequence. And then also a certain character uses a specific ability to end the story, and they never explain what that ability is and what it does. To this day, like even as the Jujutsu Kaisen like series has ended in the manga wise, we still have zero explanation as to what the heck did this person do? And how is it that this person's able to beat the final antagonist of the series? And that's all I can logistically say without spoiling it for our anime only watchers.
Yeah, that final fight about to make Madara look like child's play.
Oh my gosh. No spoilers. But yeah. Okay. So my next one, and honestly, So I think part of it goes into they don't do a good job of explaining it is the power system and solo leveling. Now some of this is and even in the manhwa they don't do a good job of explaining it. Now we know that what's his name? I don't remember any of these characters' names. I'm just like,
person who you need to remember the name of.
Listen, I watch too much stuff and I be forgetting names, okay? So Sung Jin-woo, he's broken, obviously. Like, he's on his own thing. But when they get into, like, the E rank to S rank, it gets to the point where S rank, like, and we see it some in the second season, where S rank doesn't actually feel like it means anything. Like, and they say that they're the most powerful, like, and there's even more breakdowns in the S rank that they go into later on in the series, but they never do a good job of explaining how or where that, like, discrepancy in power comes from. And so it makes it hard that when you set up the S ranks as the most powerful and the ones that are going to be the, like, they're the game changers, and it gets to the point where the only game changer is Sung Jin-woo. So I'll leave it there.
I was gonna say that's a solid point, because I was thinking about solo leveling just with how everyone's talking about the aura farming and everything, and I was like, okay, Sung Jin-woo is obviously broken, but we all know the narrative since we've all read it, the narrative reason for it. But you're right, between the ranks, like in the first season, like where it's like, oh, E to S, if you're E, you can't really beat, like, even if you fight a D rank monster, you can't really beat it. Mm-hmm. But once again, we get to, like, we just saw with the Ant arc, where it's like, okay, we have these S rank hunters and they all got washed by Beru.
Yes.
Who I guess is S double tier of a monster or something.
yeah.
And, like, they weren't even close to defeating him. Yeah. So, like, at this point, obviously, once it introduces other stuff, it kind of explains why he's so powerful, but it's kind of like, yeah, y'all don't really do anything.
Exactly. Once, like, what do I feel like is the turning point?
It's in the manhwa, we can't spoil it.
No, not with the S rank, but when S rank stopped being, like, game changers. I feel like
with the island, that's when we truly found out how irrelevant they were.
Was the island before or after the ogre?
I do think the ogre with tusk or fang, whatever tusk, they call him. But I don't think there was an S rank.
There was only an A rank.
But at the same time, to her point, the A's had, like, little impact. And I think me at your point, like, when it gets to, but it's crazy because, like, again, we all read the manhwa, I forget his name, but the Chinese S rank hunter was able to wash a lot of the ants. Obviously, he didn't fight Beru, but he was able to have, like,
that dude.
Yes.
That starts the getting national levels.
Yes. Yeah. So. But they don't, because even when they do introduce the national level hunters, there's no, like, it gets to they can't measure that. Like, they don't tell us how the Chinese national level hunter, there's more, even the no, I don't think they've gotten to that point yet. And
they just showed them, they didn't go.
Or I'm talking about the one for the Japan arc.
Yeah, who are you talking about?
And they never say, like, how is he a national level hunter? And like, so they never explain how that is measured and how they get to be national level ranked. And they just kind of hand wave and just like, oh yeah, they're so powerful. They beat everybody. So they're national level hunters.
Yeah. So for the next one, this is my last one before we get into like switch up or go on dishonorable mentions. This one is because of the ending of the show. And again, this is another anime that diverged from the manga and kind of messed itself up and needs reboot. Soul Eater.
Oh boy. This one was hard for me to like try to place. I was like, okay, I know it's on the bottom end. I don't know like how far on the bottom end I was going to put it.
So Soul Eater has one of the coolest anime scaling systems and power systems in general, where you're able to work in conjunction with someone that turns into a weapon and use them. And I think at the start of the show, it was actually really cool how they used the dynamic. I don't know where they started to diverge from the manga because I haven't read it, but I do know that some of the power ups later in the show are just made up.
That's just like more towards the end.
Yeah. So like towards the end, it's just kind of like they're just like doing stuff. But the one thing for me, it's really the ending, where it's like at the start of the show, they establish that the most powerful attack that they could possibly do is Witch Hunter. Because at the time, witches are like the most powerful evil creatures in that universe. So they get powerful, develop and grow. They have to fight the Kishin, which I'm not going to get into that. It's like now the most evil thing in the universe. So then they pull out the Kishin Hunter, which was like mind blowing because it's like, wow, this is even more. It's essentially like using an S tier move when the highest thing was originally an A tier move. They use the Kishin Hunter. It does absolutely nothing. And the dude is like, and this dude is killing people, like about to destroy the world. And he's like, it's not, it only works on evil, but I'm not evil because I am madness and madness is a part of the world. So that doesn't work. So then Maka beats him by punching him in the face because bravery is a part of the world. It just is such a dumb end. So it's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense at the end.
I don't think I'm not gonna lie. The words, because it's like, yeah, there's no defending that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's been, like, I think, 20 years since I've even thought about Soul Eater. And I do remember she punched him in the face. And that was all it took. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I agree.
All right, Mitch.
All right. So I think this is kind of going to be, like, my last one in terms of, like, dishonorable, a.k.a. one of the worst. All right. So my last one is going to be, and this is the case, again, this is kind of like another case where it's like for the manga heads, because anime wise, they haven't really exactly gone to it. But Chainsaw Man.
Really? Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, okay, so it's very much not a complex system. It's like, okay, when it comes to the devils, it's like it's based on your level of fear that you have for this particular ideology, and that becomes a devil and whatnot. And like, hey, you kill a devil, and I believe like if they soul like gets killed there as well, then they're gone permanently. The main thing, and it's like, yeah, it's very easy to understand, but they haven't like fully explained like why certain devils are as powerful as they are given the rules that they set. So for example, there's a specific devil where it's based on like pretty much a low level fear, but it's like one of the more powerful ones, and you're just like, why? And they give an explanation, but it's like, but no, there should be no narrative reason as to why you are as powerful as you are, as you should be. Mm. And then also, again, like I'm doing my best not to spoil nothing, but let's just say a very main devil is a lot more powerful than you think it should be for no conceivable reason.
Mm.
And it's one of the main ones of the show. And you're just like, And it's not like a case where they trained to become more powerful. It's just the fact that they were inherently the most powerful of all time, and they just didn't access the power.
Wow.
They just like,
Oh, so you could have just spared everybody.
He could have stopped the show from happening.
Yes.
That's the worst.
Yes. And again, that goes to my... Well, I think we're talking about like pet peeves and whatnot, but yes, one of my biggest pet peeves of all time when it comes to scaling. So yeah, that's that's my last one.
All right, Paulina.
Okay. So this is more because, so full transparency, anime only. And I really don't like this because I feel like it's super confusing and it's not well explained. And it's been, I think, two plus years since they've come out with a new season, and it's Tao from Hell's Paradise. And
that was one of my dishonorable mentions.
Yeah. I'm real talk. I am so confused, and all like, it's just, they have the, so first of all, they, and I know part of it is probably a narrative reasons as to why they're trying to slowly reveal it as time goes on. But like, all you have are these, like, I don't want to call them flower people. Well, they kind of are flower people that show up and OP immediately. That's fine. They're the bad guys. But then they never, but then we find out that, what's his face? Gabimaru. Is that his name? Gabimaru? Yep. Yeah. He can use Tao like almost inherently. And I'm just like, I want there to be no more episodes. I'm fully on board with that. But I don't know what they're doing.
I do. And the only reason it's in dishonorable mentions for me is because that their explanation of like how it all works is just copy and pasted from another show. Okay. Literally copy and pasted. And you're just like,
wow,
bruh, you couldn't have thought of anything else.
Just to progress, for my dishonorable mention, it's a whole genre of anime. 95% of isekai, there's not even a system to talk about. It's just, hey, how did I become a level 999 character in a world full of scrubs?
I know, right? I fought a million slimes and now I'm OP.
I don't need to explain that.
Apparently just dying makes you OP.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So any other quick hits with the dishonorable before we transition to the mess?
Dishonorable mention. This is an old one. Yu-Gi-Oh! So I thought Exodia was the most powerful card you could ever have. It was so powerful that they had to throw it away because it was too OP. But now you've got the Egyptian god cards, and why is the blue eyes white dragon so like just broken? Like, come on now.
Oh, I gotta send y'all the Chiseled Adonis video up where he talks about Yu-Gi-Oh cards and how they're making stuff up.
Yeah.
I can't defend the blue eyes white dragon one.
Dark magician, power 2500.
Yeah. Just like with this trap card, I raise it to 3 million, and he's in attack mode, and now I take away all your life points.
Make sure you got anything else?
No. I told you my dishonorable mention.
All right, so let's transition to the best. Kicking off the best, something that I think is one of the best. It's not my personal, but I think it is, in an objective sense, the best, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yes.
Probably Full Metal Alchemist 2, but I haven't watched that first one, but I'm pretty sure it's the same until the end of the anime. But
yes,
Mitch, I'm rocking the Amestris jersey. But the thing is, the law of equivalent exchange. If you get something, you have to give it up. And my only issue with the show, but they explain it perfectly, is that the one episode where the main homunculi is like able to eat God or whatever.
Yes.
But they have an entire arc about how they, you know, took out all these people in a certain way. They made a circle, the alchemist circle, in order to do that summoning.
Yep.
It works. I mean, and Father is kind of like broken, but at the same time, it's like he did gain that power. So I really love the system of it, where it's like, even if you have OP characters, you're able to balance it out in a sense.
Yep. Yep. And then even going along with that, it's like, hey, in my terms of everything, it's like, hey, it's simplistic. It's like, you know exactly what it is. Like, hey, if you want to like use alchemy, you have to have an alchemist circle. And, you know, you got to draw at least somewhere, and then boom, you can use your ability. And the only exceptions to that are those who have seen the gate of truth and have left a part of them in the gate, a.k.a. Ed and Al. So all they need to do is just clap their hands, and then they can use the ability. It's like, yes, perfect explanation.
Or if you have a Philosopher's Stone.
Yes, or you have Philosopher's Stones. Again, a great thing. And it's not like a Philosopher's Stone is the end-all be-all, because there's a caveat to even getting one.
Yep.
So it's not like you can easily have everybody get a Philosopher's Stone and become broken and OP. No. There's cost.
There's cost.
Yes.
There's thousands of people's worth of cost.
Yep.
And the monkey line, not too crazy.
And I have no notes. I agree with all of that. I also like the deconstruction with Scar's power and how they introduced that, so that it's not just because he had deconstruction in one arm and creation in the other arm, right? Yep. And so even though he could, like, and even it goes back into, he had the transmutation stuff written on him.
Yes.
So, like, it's just great. It is, that's definitely one of my tops as well.
Yep. All right, Beach.
All right. Dang, that was going to be my first one, but you know what?
It's so objectively good.
Yeah.
But I have another one in the pipeline. One of my favorites when it comes to like power system is Nien from Hunter x Hunter.
That's also one of my top. Yeah.
That was the one that I wanted to talk about, but go ahead.
All right. So I really like how, okay, so it's broken down into like five different like modes of Nien. And you can, and like they each do something specific, and you can train in them to, you know, become as goated as you can. And also, again, like you can like power it up, of course, at a great cost. we know what happened to P2. But yes, it's like they explain it real well within the show and within the manga as well. They explain it real well. Very simple to understand. It's very consistent in what, like, whatever it lays out to do, that's exactly what it can do. And there's no no outside like thing to like interfere with that. It's like, this person could like legit do this thing when it's clearly explained that they couldn't. No. They didn't do that at all. Which I'm like,
Good stuff.
That's what I like to see.
I also like that I think they do a good job of explaining Nen, but I still think it's pretty confusing, especially on which Nen can beat which Nen and how you can have multiple forms. Like it is a confusing system because of how many working parts it is, but they do a good job of explaining it. I also love how your Nen power is based on how creative you are with your Nen. So like Gon has a lot of Nen. He could be a genius, but he's not creative enough. So he's got this lame power, like show me rock. Like, okay. Like, wow.
He's a kid.
Yeah. Well, Hisoka, who has like bungee gum, which you're just like, okay, it's got the properties of both rubber and gum. But the way that he uses it is so creative that he takes out, also, he's actually a beast, like just in general. But the way that he uses his Nen is just like, it goes to show like how you can have something that might seem ineffective, but how you use it and what your personality is and all that kind of stuff like can completely change the game.
That's a good point y'all both made about the system being consistent, because I remember the one episode where Hisoka was fighting the one dude like in the tournament, and the dude was using like Nen that was opposite of his, so it like had like a backfire essentially. I just don't want, I kind of, for me, don't want to mix up the ant arc, because I know a lot of people are like, how these ants get so powerful and stuff, but like y'all were like cool with like Nero having his power up and stuff and having to nuke the dude in order to beat him.
Oh yeah. Because that was the only option.
That was
the only option. Yeah. And then, yeah. It was great.
All right, what's your best, Paulina?
Oh, so I know I'm a little biased, but I think the Devil Fruit hockey system from One Piece is one of the best systems. Now, let me explain why. So first of all, when it comes to Devil Fruits, so we know there's Logia, Paramecium, and what's the other one?
Zoan,
yes. Now, everyone's like, Logia is the best, Logia is the best. And they do have a lot of good quality. And we see so many Logia users that are pretty OP. But what I love about the Devil Fruit system is the fact that you can have an oat. So think about Katakuri. And sorry, like, listen, guys. Like, I know there's 1,000+ episodes, but I gotta talk about it. But so, for instance, Katakuri, he ate the mochi mochi fruit. His devil fruit is mochi powers. And when I tell you he was giving Luffy the business, like, it's because of how he uses his power that makes him OP. Even Doflamingo with the string fruit, like, he was able to use it so he could fly. He could make a clone of himself. He could control people. Like, that is all, like, pure
creativity.
Like, creativity. And even with Luffy, like, this, I'm not going to talk about this because, like, I guess this is more spoilery because it's more recent, so I won't talk about it. But even how Luffy does the gears. And gear 2, gear 3, gear 4, and things like that. And how he was like, I need to, because gum gum fruit, you're just like, oh, that's kind of lame. He's a stretchy man. He's a rubber man. But how he uses it is like top tier. Now, what I love, and I think this is really what makes the One Piece power system like such an amazing system, is the introduction of hockey, because hockey is levels the playing field for everybody. And even they say that it's not the person with the strongest devil fruit that is going to become king of the pirates. It's the person with the strongest hockey. Hockey makes it so that regardless of the fruit type, so Logia and stuff like that, if someone's got hockey, they're touching you, they're knocking you out, they're going to handle you. And we see that you can have, so again, Katakuri, he had the mochi fruit, but because his observation hockey was so like amazing, he could see into the future some, like, that's crazy. And we see how, like, with Luffy's fight against Kaido, like, how hockey played a huge part in how Luffy was able to wear Kaido down. And how Kaido, even though he's, like, one of the strongest emperors, well, yeah, he was, like, I can't remember if it was him or Whitebeard that was considered the strongest when Whitebeard was there. But because of how strong Kaido was, like, it wasn't just regular armament hockey that was going to take him out. It was he needed Ryu to do all, like, to actually hit him. And then, of course, you've got Conqueror's hockey, which is just aura. And if you bout that life, if you are that guy or that girl, you're going to have a Conqueror's hockey. And I love that. So I think One Piece does, like, where a system where it could be super unbalanced, they do a great job of making it so that it can be balanced and also interesting.
Nice. Meet, you got anything?
Huh? I mean, it was basically my number two when it comes to I mean, only being under Bleach. And yeah, it's like, hey, you may be biased, but you're right. Maybe biased, but you're right.
Nice. All right. So getting into my personal favorite one, one of the best power scaling systems. And this is, again, because of creativity. There is a bit of an explanation about the power scaling system because it switches really early in the show. But JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, my. Bro, why you keep taking mine? All right.
We're locked in. So, okay, the first arc, or part one, part two-ish, with Jonathan and Joseph, they use Hamon, which is technically magic powers. It's like a martial arts that helps you use access the sunlight because they were fighting vampires and zombies early on, in a sense. But once they get to what is it, Jotaro,
yep,
the best protagonist, they switch to stands. And the thing with stands is that, and again, it goes to what y'all talked about, there are some stands that are like completely like Dio, like high level stop time, erase time, take your memories, all kinds of things, especially as they get deeper and deeper. But depending on how you use your stand, which is kind of like why I was the same way with Bleach, depending on how you use your stand, you can be really powerful. And there's like entire episode arcs of someone with the dumbest stand where it's like, oh, maybe you just forget something, and like you have to like spend the next three episodes trying to overcome that. I know Kira, I believe one of my favorite in Platinum, where it's like he has a tank and the tank just follows you around, and that's one of my favorite stands with that. So, and then even like the main characters, because I really love also what's the one with Dio's like offspring, Meech?
You mean with Giono?
Yes, it's like golden something.
Oh dang, I forgot.
I know what you're talking about because I don't watch JoJo, but I know
it's not Golden One. It's I love that one because all the side characters have really cool like stands, and like some of them are like really dumb. Like one of them has like a plane that like shoots people. Another one, he like has bullets and the bullets are alive, and they like talk and stuff, but like it's just, it depends on the way that you use your powers, you can combat almost anybody. So that's why I think JoJo's once they switch to stands is one of the best.
Mm-hmm. One of the best decisions they ever made.
I'll have to watch JoJo's now because I tried to watch the first season, and I could not get into it.
It picks up with Jotaro.
Okay. Yep.
Like, you literally just have to skip to that point.
Okay.
Okay, now that you guys have keep taking mine, my list's starting to look a little dry, but you know. It's okay because I still have like a couple more in the pipeline for y'all. This next one is very simple to explain. It's very and this one actually is probably like on the lower end of like my like list because you keep taking my higher end ones. And I was gonna like mention it more towards the end, but all right, it's very simple to explain. It's like, hey, you have it or you don't. It's you may have just this one ability apart from like two people, but you can train it and you can like become very creative with it. I'm talking about quirks in My Hero Academia.
Yep. Yeah.
That was in my honorable mentions.
Yeah. That was one of my tops.
Because again, it's like, it's a very, very easy. Yeah. Very, because it's like, hey, you're either born with the quirk or you not. And shown repeatedly, like, hey, I can train with this quirk. I can train my body to where I can be very creative in the use of my abilities to essentially handle the situation or become stronger. And the only people who defy the rule of having just one quirk is, of course, One for All and All for One.
Yep.
They're the only ones that technically are multiple quirks in one. I don't count Todoroki's as two quirks in one because it's technically, it's half hot, half cold. It's literally both quirks just merged into one. Mm-hmm. Due to genetic abuse, but
yeah.
But in any case, like again, the other two, like All for One and One for All, they're the only ones that have multiple quirks, and there's a reasonable explanation as to why there's multiple ones. And it's also shown, especially with Deku, that just because you have the power doesn't mean you the end all be all, because his cost was breaking his bones every time he used it.
Exactly.
So yes, and it's also, again, it's shown like, hey, it's genetic. Like, if you father a child with another person and you have a quirk, it's very likely they will have a variation of said quirk or marriage between your quirk and your spouse's. So makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So funny that with the best ones, we're all like, yeah, that's objectively the best.
Yeah. Makes total sense.
All right, Paulina.
So I feel like this counts, but someone might disagree. But I was going to say Attack on Titan, and its power scale, because this is what, and this is why. So the founding Titan is OP. They've got the best power. Every other Titan, it's fair game when they fight. And it's who's the more capable combatant. Now, with like, because even with the Colossal Titan and the Armored Titan, like, yes, the Colossal's got this size, but he's slow and he's not really a fighter. He'd just be stomping around. Now, I think what makes it one of my top is the fact that the humans, for as good as they can be with their, like, I want to say air gear. I can't think of
ODM gear.
ODM gear and stuff like that. The only two that can, like, are really about that life are Levi and Mikasa. Everyone else, it's like, you're still human. You're still human. There's no plot armor. Like, you, like, Levi squad, elite of the elite, packed up. So I think that it is I think this is why I prefer, like, I have it as my top, is compared to, like, what I said about Bleach, is that there are narrative consequences for you basically not having Titan powers, like, and you can only go so far as a human, and no one is safe. So I really, yeah.
All right. For me, just quickly, it's an honorable mention because I used up all my others very loosely, because there's some things that I'm like, but Black Clover, it's similar to a My Hero, where it's like, you either have magic or you don't, mostly. And the one reason that Asta, who doesn't have magic, is able to compete is because, at this point, we should all know that he has a devil in him, which has anti-magic. So it makes sense how he's able to stop others in a world full. It's like, if there is one water Pokemon in a world full of fire Pokemon, it's like, it makes sense why he would be able to stop so many people. But there are, again, consequences to him not having magic. So he has to train in other ways in order to improve himself. So that, yeah, so that's kind of like what I'll say. So be quick with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then my last honorable mention is an honorable mention because of the manga, is Fire Force. And because, like, hey, initiatives, they explain it really well, you know, like, hey, you have the third generation, second gen, you can do this when it comes to your pyrokinetics. The only issue I have is that by the end of the series, they actually go away from the whole fire thing. Like,
we'll find that out in the final season.
Yeah.
Let's just say, hey, there'll be less fire in Fire Force by the end of it. So that's the only reason it's an honorable mention and not like one of my actual contenders.
That's why I'm looking at Black Clover. Yeah.
My honorable mention is the Geass power, from Code Geass. And obviously, if you got a Geass, you've got an advantage, but they each have their limitations and their consequences. And so, and it's also, it's super rare. So I think that also adds to it.
All right. So let's quickly get into our pet peeves. So these are with abilities and with tropes. For my pet peeve, I think that making your main villain have the only reason you do that is just because you want to make your, mostly because you want your main hero protagonist to take out the villain in all particular ways. Like, that's kind of like when you said My Hero and I thought of Shigaraki, and I'm like, so his quote unquote transformation was incomplete, but okay, his regeneration powers is like 200% essentially. And then just other, it's a lot of animes where it's like this, Naruto, another one where it's just like, okay, so how many times is this person going to regenerate? And it's like, you have to defeat them under a full moon with the blade of leaves and stuff like this at a particular time in the day. So I just don't like regeneration powers because it's overused. So I like a villain that's strong, obviously, but more in a Thanos versus Iron Man sense, where it's like, you really did all of this for a drop of blood, you better bring it. That's kind of how I am. I just don't like regeneration the way it's done.
Okay. And then for me, I say again, I've kind of mentioned it and teased it throughout the entire show, one of my pet peeves is Revealing that you had a power all along that could have helped resolve the situation at hand. This could be whether like a X person like is just sitting back or farming and then just pops up to resolve the situation. Like, bro, people are leaking, people out here dying. You could have made this a whole lot easier, Song Jinwoo. And also it's like, and again, it's like where a character is like, it's, or it's a case where like it's revealed later that a person had this ability, and it's just like, okay, you could have pulled this out at any time, or you could have like revealed that secret at any time. It's like, yeah, it may have a detrimental cost, but like, why is the detrimental cost different now than it would have been back then? Again, looking at you, Naruto. But yeah, it's the case of like, hey, if you have an ability that you could use to finish the situation or like stop it, and you don't, you own my list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Paulina. Mm-hmm.
My pet peeve is when only the main character gets stronger. That is my, like, I want consistent growth over, like, for all of the characters as the series goes on, because then it just gets boring in my opinion, which is, as I've said, one of my issues with Bleach and Dragon Ball. So and a lot of typical shonen, but anyway, that's my pet peeve.
All right, so going from there, that was definitely an intensive episode. With the best, obviously, I guess if you are the best, you would objectively be the best in terms of some of the power scan systems. In the comments, you can put what you think is the best or the worst as well. So transition to there, we're going to get into the what's hot. So that is what is popular in anime, movies, TV shows, so forth and so on. Meech.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and start off with the news that Beyond the Spider-Verse has been delayed once again to June 25th, 2027.
Oh, gosh.
Yep. So this is actually crazy because Beyond the Spider-Verse is getting delayed before to be after GTA 6. We are getting GTA 6 before Beyond the Spider-Verse, which, allegedly. What type of timeline are we in?
Don't jinx it.
Sorry, I had to completely demolish wood on that one. So with that, continuing on, you know, we have the Demon Slayer Infinity Castle movie dropping July 18th in Japan, which means that it's most likely coming out in the U.S. by September.
September 12th.
Okay, September 12th. So after mourning over the Twin Towers, we get to see somebody using them twin blades.
Did y'all hear about the potential release of the movies in the timeline?
No.
The third movie might not come out till 2029.
Oh, I would fight. Oh, no. I'm going to Japan. I need to talk to the managers. Oh, no. Why would they do that?
I mean, this is what we were talking about. They should get rid of the powers so they can animate it normally, and we could just get one season and not three movies.
Maybe you vindication. Have vindication. All right.
No.
Vindication. All right. Moving on. Good on. We got
corporate greed.
All right. So next up, the Chainsaw Man movie is dropping September 19th in Japan, meaning we getting it probably like in January. We also have One Piece that's still on the live right now. If you in your manga bag, good lord. Kaiju number 8 should have dropped by the time you're listening to this video. So, hey, go ahead, watch it. Rising of the Shield Hero then already dropped at least 2 episodes. So go ahead. Season 4, if you want to watch it. Let's just say for me, this plot point is starting to be very so far. So yes, Dinodon season 2, it's already dropped. Go ahead, binge watch it. You know what to do. My Hero Academia dropping once again in October. Also in October, One Punch Man season 3. Also dropping in October, Spy Family season 3. October is the season of cooking. We'll be seeing all the cosplays of the Forger family. We're going to see Moomin Rider dropping their cosplays very soon. I'm going to need it all. Yep. And then moving on to movies.
I've got one more. Don't sleep on it. Gachi Akuta.
That's what you mentioned. You know how to mention it. I'm glad you know how to pronounce it. I heard it's really fire.
Yep. Oh, it's dope.
Okay,
it's dope.
Cool. I have it like on my watch list, so like I was gonna like watch it later today or tomorrow, really. But yeah, I heard it. Well, at least I saw a clip on TikTok. It was like this person saying, like, you know what? All y'all get to go to HEHOC. I'm like, oh, what did they do to him?
That's what I'm hearing, yeah.
Yeah, no, I started watching it, and I think the power system's going to be crazy.
All right. So moving on to movies. We got the horror movie Together dropping July 30th. Go ahead, watch it with your loved ones. Go ahead, watch it with your significant other. You will not be having a bad time. Warning y'all right now. We also got Predator Badlands dropping November 7th. We got the Predator, whose actor is named Demetrius. Let's go. We out here in the Predator world. Predator Alien world. We got Shrek 5 dropping in 2026. We got Shrek 5. We also got the I Know What You Did Last Summer movie dropped, and I have thoughts on it. I'm not gonna say yet. You got Fantastic Four First Steps drops this week. Be in the theaters because we will be talking about it expeditiously. And for the first lady of the podcast, Happy Gilmore 2 is dropping that same week on Netflix. I have a pretty strong feeling that we're going to be watching it. We also have Naked Gun dropping August 1st with Liam Neeson. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be a fun time. You got Freakier Friday dropping August 8th. If you care about that at all, Weapons will be dropping that day as well, because that's what I'm going to be watching. Yes. We going to be learning. Conjuring Last Rites dropped a trailer for September 5th. It's going to be the last Conjuring movie over probably one of the most believable hauntings. Keyword being believable.
Of course it will.
More believable than...
No, I'm talking about the last Conjuring movie.
Oh.
Sure.
Hopefully. And then also Marlon Wayans and Jordan Peele is dropping Him on September 19th. If you don't know, horror movie about football. So let's get into it. We have The Black Phone 2 dropping in October. Also dropping in October, which a trailer just came out, Mortal Kombat 2, baby.
Yes.
And I will be here for it.
Johnny Cage.
Yes, Johnny Cage is already out here being Johnny Cage, but I need my Hiroyuki Sanada. You know what I'm saying? I need Mr. Get Over Here himself. I need it. Also, Now You See Me 3 dropping on my sister's birthday, November 14th. Wicked 2, November 21st. Zootopia 2, November 26th. Five Nights at Freddy's 2, December 5th. I'm here for it. And then Avatar Fire and Ash, December 19th. So yeah, go ahead and watch that. Alien Earth in the TV sphere, unless you guys had any other movies that you don't care about.
There's a movie I just saw, Eddington, by Ari Aster, one of my favorite directors. Do not go on Twitter after watching this movie. Because this director is a sicko. He directed Hereditary, Midsommar, Bo is Afraid, and this movie takes place quote-unquote around May of 2020, and it touches on COVID and all the... It's a wild movie. That's all I have to say. So, yeah. But yeah, you can keep going, Major.
All right, so in TV, we got Alien Earth, August 12th. We got Dexter's Resurrection, which just came out. So, yes, Dexter is back, y'all. We got Love Island, which has been taking the entire world by storm.
I'm obsessed. Nickelandrian now.
Oh, nice.
Dang, not even in five. She wants it now.
No, it is now. It is now. It's literally the season ended. The reunion is August 25th. Listen, It is that serious.
Are they going to bring back homegirl in the reunion?
Oh, I hope so. I hope she gets flamed. I hope that Huda, like...
No, it's her and someone else, the one that got kicked off.
Sierra? Nah, yes. I don't think she's coming back because she got administratively removed. But Huda, when I catch you, Huda.
She was wild.
problematic is not enough to describe her. But Nickelandrea, stand them, okay? Stand them. Shalace, stand them, okay? Okay? Don't talk about my clients, okay? Okay?
No, clients is crazy.
No, no. They're my clients saved this season. Ramaya, get behind me, okay? When I tell you Love Island was the best thing to happen this summer, it was the best thing to happen this summer. Like,
all right, we've gotten the word. Moving on, let's go ahead and finish this off. We got a King of the Hill coming back August 4th. For our Texas folk, we out here screaming. We're screaming propane and
accessories.
We out here. We also got The Eyes of Wakanda dropping August the 27th. Why am I having it as this accent? But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and stop before I get taken out by the Dora Milaje.
Yes.
We got Marvel Zombies dropping in October.
Ooh.
We got It, Welcome to Derry, dropping soon. Got The Wonderfully Weird World of Gumball dropping this week. Yes. Yeah, Gumball is back. And then finally, Stranger Things season 5, part 1 of 3.
They part dropped a trailer of- for it.
Maybe yeah.
Dropped a trailer. Woo!
Yeah. Almost 6 years later. Wow.
Also, I saw like a rumor about like the runtime of each episode, which I'm 1000% sure it's late. I mean, it's not real. It's fake. But they say like, oh yeah, each episode is like 2 hours long. I'm like,
they better.
The last one, like the last season, like for the last parts, it was like hour and a half-ish, hour 40. Yeah. So it's going to be long if you just go and drop it in such a ridiculous manner. But yeah.
Yeah. Also, the fact that it's been 5 years since the last season, that's the only thing that makes sense. I need every episode to be 2 hours feature-length film because there's no reason why this show, it started in 2016. Oh, it's 2025 now. Like, that's wild.
Yep. The little girl who plays Lucas's baby sisters graduated high school. So, yeah.
11 is married.
Well, the thing about it being long, we said the same thing about the final season of Game of Thrones. We saw how that ended. So.
Yeah. But they only had 3 episodes, like what, 8 episodes total? And half of them, and yeah, most of them were trash.
Yep.
This one has 3.
Wait, no, not 3 episodes total.
It's a part 1, part 2, part 3.
3 episodes per part.
I was about to say.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Red pew something.
Okay, we got. I mean, you got anything else?
And then also, like, they released more details about the Harry Potter show that's dropping. They already have the casting, and they already showed what our boy Harry looked like. And they also revealed, like, hey, each season is one book. So, and presumably, they're releasing them, like, in a yearly fashion.
Before they split in part 1 and part 2.
But, all right, and yeah, so... Yeah, and then, of course, just in gaming, we got Marvel Rivals, Death Stranding 2, Madden 26, Dino Light the Beast, College Football, Gears of War Reloaded on PS5, Borderlands 4, Silent Hill F, Ghost of Yote, and Pokemon Legends EZ, and then finally GTA 6. All right, what y'all got?
All right, Paulina.
You took a lot of mine. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned Gachioka because that was definitely something that I'm looking forward to and enjoying. Dr. Stone has come back for its finals. I don't know what part of its final season, but it's dope. Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, if you haven't watched that or aren't watching it, you should. It's one, it's adorable. Two, it is a great story. And three, the art is like so unique and so engaging. Let me think, what's something else I've been enjoying? Yeah, that's on the anime side. I haven't been to the movies in months and months and months. So not looking forward to any movies. TV right now, I'm enjoying The Bear season 4. And Love Island. Like Love Island has consumed my life. If you aren't watching the lives, if you aren't watching the edits, if you aren't rewatching the show, like you're not spending your time well. Like basically my full-time job is Nickelandria. And if you know, you know. But that's what I've been into. I don't have a lot of free time, guys. This is what I'm interested in. So Lego is coming out with a One Piece set. So if you love Lego and you also love One Piece, I think the two sets that I'm most interested in are the Going Merry and the Baratier. So yeah, so that's all I got.
All right, so just a speed run to wrap it up. For anime, To Be Hero X is still continuing. Sakamoto Days just released episode 2 as of this episode. Then also Street Fighter, the casting announcements. The cast for Street Fighter movie is crazy. They got a lot of hitters in it. Another anime, The Summer Hikaru Died, that's on Netflix. And then Comic-Con International is going on as of this episode release date. And then just for music, the Clips album is Let God Sort Them Out is one of the best hip-hop albums I've heard in years. That is a phenomenal album. That's one of the best albums I've heard in like the past like few years.
Oh dang, I'm gonna need to go ahead and take a listen.
Yes, yeah. Malibs and Pusha T, they flow on that. Yes. Dude, this one song of Tyler the Creator goes crazy.
Yeah, that's a dope album.
On my watch list right now.
All right, so let's get the plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so Instagram, X formerly known as Twitter and Threads, BlurT22, like, comment, subscribe. You already know the deal. Instagram also has the link to our Discord. We also have YouTube and Patreon under Blurred City Pod. You know what to do. Donate some cheddar, get access to very exclusive episodes like me defending Goku because he's not a bad dad. We also have our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. Send episode suggestions, your favorite power scaling systems or your worst power scaling systems, your episode suggestions and all that good jazz. Except for the hate mail that's being spammed. We also have at least for me, I have my personal page, which is the Jedi Born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. However long we got TikTok left before they switched to the American version. And what y'all got?
So I don't be posting, but follow me at Paulina_what. And please, please like, comment, and that's on every platform. But please, guys, like, comment, and subscribe to Blurred City Podcast so that they will let me out of the basement more often. Every time we don't get new subscribers, they lock me down there and they make me watch the most horrible of isekai. And I can't take it anymore. Send help. Please save me. And they beat me with lightsabers. It's
chill. Wait, who in the world does that? I don't know anybody who beats people with lightsabers. That's crazy.
We won't have that refrigerator, isekai.
Oh my god.
Don't have me put Ren
that time I got
Riki.
Reincarnated as a sword.
Don't have me make you watch Rent a Girlfriend on repeat.
Oh, please no.
All right. Oh, gosh. For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri_dash. That is METRI_DASH. For my X/Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. So, as usual, we will leave you with some words of encouragement.
I've got one. So, I recently graduated, I went through a time of unemployment. And what I have to say is that for anyone going through transition periods, I want you to know that whether you are super busy or like you've got a lot of downtime, enjoy what you have because your situations can change super quickly. And there's so much like grief and just kind of like uneasiness that comes with change. So take the time to really process your feelings, to sit down, check in with yourself, check in with other people around you so that you can't, so you don't feel isolated. And then also to not to remember that whether you're in the, like you're upcoming to a new situation or you're going through a lull, that there's good, you can find things to be joyful about and to look forward to even in the chaos. So while I've been unemployed, I've got so much free time and it's been so great just to rest. And graduating, it was a huge weight off my shoulder after years and years of stress. So enjoy the season you're in.
Neat.
I was gonna say when it comes to just living life and just having fun, you know, hey, sometimes your week can be very daunting, very much filled with a bunch of what's the word for it? Oh, right, calamity, if you will. But when it comes to that, like, you just have to rise above the calamity, rise above your whatever you're going through, because nothing screams more petty than to rise above your haters and be like, yeah, I made it through. And we want to prove all the haters wrong.
Well, I maybe should have gone last because I am going to give the most unserious words of encouragement. But we started with Coldplay. I will not give words of encouragement to adulterers. So speaking to those who are about to get a very nice divorce settlement check, money does not buy happiness, but the loss of money ensures misery. So remember that when going into the negotiations and get all that you can. So like we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. Unless you're getting divorced, which is forever. That's the Blair City Podcast.
Wow.
I guess see y'all later.
Maybe
unless you're getting divorced, so we won't see you later.
Like, dang. That's a crazy note to leave off of, but go off.